The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
Friday, November the 12th, 4:57 p.m. You're going to hear this on Saturday as football gets near its end. And hopefully you hear this before they play on Saturday, but if not, anytime along the way, it's going to make a difference in how you think about football. What I wanted to talk about, instead of the games that are being played today, I've already given you predictions, I've already given you ideas and thoughts about what's going on. I wanted to talk about, what are the greatest gifts that the young men who play this game are going to get when they're done? They receive these gifts while they are playing, but a lot of times they don't even know what they've received. They don't even understand that it's a gift. They don't get it. They're just a long way away from being able to understand that they basically have just had probably the greatest lessons that they could ever possibly imagine in their life. But these are some observations that I have of what everybody that plays the game is going to get. So when you watch the game on Saturday, you watch the games on Friday nights, you watch the middle school games, the little league games, etc. Somewhere along the way, when everybody hangs it up, and it's going to happen for everybody, and usually it happens for everybody before they turn 19 years old, they're done, because most people don't play college. Even if they do play college, most people hang it up before they're 22 or 23 years old. So why do they do it? What are the gifts that they get from it and things that they don't even recognize? First thing I'll talk about is that it's impossible to play the game of football without courage. People mistake what courage is. I tell our players all the time when I was coaching, courage does not mean that you are not afraid. Courage means that you're afraid and that you do it anyway. It's the one thing when I listen to some coaches that never played the game or were never really in a lot of physical contact because of the position they played. An old school quarterback that played in the 60s and the 70s and basically handed the ball off and might get hit, you know, five times a week at the most in a game. People that just don't quite understand what happens to the body for these people that play linebacker, play running back, play a tight end that goes over the middle and has to block. People that have to hit every day, and they hit every day in practice. And then they go and play in a game. And a running back that's looking back to catch a ball, going down the middle of the field and knowing that the safety is going to have about a 10-yard run and that he's going to hit him so hard that he may break a rib. He may break his arm. He may break his fingers. He may hit him in the head and knock him out cold. Maybe he even paralyzes him. If you play the game, and you play in those positions to where that you're going to take those types of beatings, then you have to be courageous, because unless you are in the less than one percentile, meaning that you're probably a little bit crazy, a little bit off, there will come a time when you are afraid. There will come a time when there is fear. There's fear that you're going to hurt your body worse. There's fear that you're going to have something happen to you that's going to last you for the rest of your life. There's fear that if you don't lower and crouch your body and protect yourself, that that linebacker might actually just basically destroy you. And he's already hit you 8 times during the game, 10 times during the game. And so for you to go and play the next play, you got to have courage because you are afraid. If you are human and you play the game, you will be afraid. Again, there are some, I've seen some guys, I've coached some guys, I've played with some guys that never had fear because they were just a little bit off. They were just a little bit crazy. But 99.9% of all the people I've ever coached and I've played, somewhere along the way, they've had fear. And so if they had fear and they did it anyway, they had courage. And so the one thing that football gives you, because it's such a physical, violent, nasty game, in order to be effective, you have to be courageous. The second thing is toughness, and I even added the word callous. Just like your hands, if you, like when I used to haul hay when I was a kid, from the time I was 12 years old until I was about 20 years old, every summer, I would haul tens of thousands of bales of hay. And my hands would, even with gloves, would reach down and grab the wires or the strings and pick up a 50 to 100 pound bale of hay and do that 1,000 times during a day. And eventually my hands would become so calloused, from so beat up, so worn out, that they would just very simply get used to that feeling, that numbness. And that's the toughness that you can get and you can develop from playing the game of football, is that you can get into such a rhythm of being physically abused, beaten on a daily basis, that your body and your brain can become calloused. I wasn't that tough. I always had the effects of the constant everyday grinding and hitting. I played linebacker and running back in high school, and I never came off the field unless I was hurt. So I would get hit 50 to 80 times a game. My body would be in a collision in some form or fashion. So I would develop a callousness, but in my brain, I knew that not only was I a little bit afraid, but I wasn't as calloused and I wasn't as tough as some of my teammates were. Some of the guys I go back and think about to this day, I think about John Schlarman and I think about David Barnes. David Barnes I played with in high school and then coached with David until he passed away tragically a couple of years ago. And John Schlarman, I was able to be a coach on the staff at the University of Kentucky for his senior year. They were both, what everyone said, they were the toughest human beings that you could ever be around. And that toughness that they had in football, the callousness of the body reps, of the constant, never-ending hits that they took and that they delivered, helped them when they had to go through their struggle in life where they were fighting for their lives. So the toughness and the callousness that you learn in football can help you as you move along in life. Teamwork. There's not a game, a sport, that requires more people in order to be successful. You can have an offense that averages 50 points a game and not win a championship. I know that. I coached one. We averaged 52 points a game. We won 9 games. We didn't win a championship. The year before, we averaged about 30 points a game. We won a championship. Why? Because we were good on defense. We were really good on special teams. We didn't turn the ball over. The idea of teamwork was embedded in every single championship that I've been a part of. A championship at Mayfield High School in 1993 was done because of teamwork. The championship at Troy in 2006, teamwork. Every championship that I've seen or watched or been a part of has been because of teamwork. Football is almost always going to require not just 22, not just 11 on offense, 11 on defense. It's going to require If you're in college, 60, probably a minimum of 60 people playing on a Saturday effectively together. 60. It's unbelievable. When you add in what the scout team had to do all during the week, then you're talking about 100 to 120 bodies. In order for the whole thing to work, there has to be teamwork. That other sports have to have teamwork. In basketball, you have to have teamwork, but it's teamwork of five or a six or seven or eight on the whole team. In football, it's at least 30 or 40, but probably 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 people to come together. So all the different pieces and all the different parts have to work together. So when you finish your career, whether it's in middle school, high school, you understand that if the long snapper snaps it over to the left just a little bit and we don't get the ball off, we might have played the best offense, the best defense that we've ever played in the history of our school and still lose the game. Because that one phase of football, we didn't get good enough at. It might be that we complete more balls, we have more diving catches, we break more tackles, but that we have two players that hold the football below their number, it gets away from their body, and we turn it over and we lose the game. You learn in football that it is the greatest team sport. And again, now you go into a business. You end up running a business of 250 people in your business. You're running a bunch of McDonald's or a bunch of Pizza Huts or whatever it may be that you're doing. You understand teamwork. You understand that if the person who is delivering the pizza is stopping somewhere and doing something and they don't get there warm enough, you understand that there's a part of the machine that's not working. And you learned it when you were playing football. You have to learn to work with people that you don't like. If you're on a team of 40 people, 50 people, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, there's no way in the world you're going to like everybody. And you know what? You don't have to like everybody. You just have to know how to work with everybody. If you can work with everybody, if you can do that, then you can figure it out. But you're going to have to learn to work with people that you do not like, that you do not get along with, that you may not ever want to see again as long as you live. But that's okay. If it's a team of 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, there's going to be a few that don't like you. And it may be nothing that you've done. It's just the nature of the world. But you still have to be functional with them. That's why our government is so screwed up. It's because they don't understand that we don't have to like each other, but we do have to work together. We do have to build together. We do have to come together in order to be successful as a nation. You have to learn that you develop a family from every background. The great thing about football is that you learn that it's not just America. Because in football, it's not just the tall, good-looking guys. It's the short, overweight guys. It's not just the super fast guys, it's the slow guys. It's not just the smart guys, it's the not so smart guys. It's not just the really phenomenal player, it's also the scout team player. It's not just the white guy, it's also the black man. It's also not just the black man, it's also the Hispanic man. And it's also, in today's world, the young lady that decided to come out and be a part of the team as well. Or the young lady on the sideline that's responsible for fixing you when you're broken and you have an injury. Your family is now from every background humanly possible. Just as in the military, when you're on a mission, it doesn't matter if the man to the left, the woman to the right, it doesn't matter where they're from, what their background is. It only matters that the team works. So you learn that in football. You also learn to never quit. Because the thing in football that happens, if you quit in football during a game, during a play, during a practice, you will get buried. You will get put under the earth. You won't exist anymore because someone will physically hurt you. They won't feel sorry for you. They will destroy you. And the same thing is in life. If you quit in life, you will also get hurt. You will also get destroyed. You will learn how to function with pain. You'll learn how to go to work when you're sick. In football, we learn that if our left finger's broken and we play offensive line or we play running back, we're going to play. If we play linebacker, we're going to play. We understand that if we've got a sprained ankle and it's swelling and we can move and we can function, we might go in at halftime or go into a tent and we might take a needle just so that we can function and help our teammates to play. And so for the rest of our lives, when we have pain, we know that we can function through the pain and we can still produce in our job as a father, as a husband, and as a worker in a business. We also learn that if we are selfish or if there's somebody selfish on our team, they're always exposed. Selfish people are exposed because football is a humbling sport. And it can be exposed by a coach being selfish. I've worked with a lot of selfish coaches. It can be exposed with a quarterback being selfish, an offensive lineman being selfish. The moment that they quit worrying about the team and everything is about themselves, then they're exposed. And so you learn that in order to be a good teammate, selfishness is not allowed. You learn to see through phonies. There's nothing worse than the guy that does all the screaming and the shouting, and I can't wait till we get pads on, and I'm going to kill you when we get pads on. And then they turn out that they're nothing but a mouth. And we all know them. That's what befuddles me when I look at some politicians that act like they're tough guys and they're not. And coaches support those politicians because they run their mouths. In football, that doesn't work. In football, if you're not a tough guy and you open your mouth, you're going to get your ass whipped. And everybody will know that you're a phony. Everybody sees through a phony in football because you're exposed by the film. And it shows that you're really not who you say that you are. You have to learn to depend on others to do things that you can't do. Quarterback can't play right guard. The linebacker can't play wide receiver. Everybody has to depend upon the other people to do their job. In football, 10 people can do their job and one person not do their job, and you can lose the play. You can lose the series. You can lose the game. So you have to learn to function with others and to depend upon them to do their job. The quarterback that chews out the offensive line and says they're worthless and all that, guess what? That offensive lineman can turn around, look at each other and go, oh, okay, this guy thinks he thinks he can do it all on his own. How about this? And the next play, not block. You have to learn to depend upon others. You have to learn to be on time. The one thing about football, if you're not on time, there is punishment. You will be punished because in a team sport, if you're not there when everybody else is, when everything is supposed to start, you learn that there is punishment for it. Just like if you show up late for work, you may be fired. So you learn to be on time when you play the game. You learn the consequences of actions for yourself. If I don't do this, if I don't carry the ball on the top of my number, I will fumble and I'll be humiliated and they'll write bad things about me in the newspaper. But I also learn the consequences of my actions for others. If I don't carry the ball up high and tight on the top of the number every single time and I fumble, not only will I be hurt because of those actions, but every single person on this team that did their job right is going to be hurt. And there are consequences that they will suffer because of my actions that I did not do. You have to have a willingness to fight, but an ability to know when to retreat smartly. Football, guys, if you don't fight, you can't play. You got to compete. You got to compete in a warrior mentality, in a physical mentality with great technique and great effort. But there's also times where you learn that you have to back down. You have to walk away. After the whistle, somebody punches you. You have to learn that discipline of walking away. You have to learn what's smart. How to attack somebody. If something doesn't work, then you learn to adjust. You have to develop unique alliances in football. A unique alliance means that there's a guy that just took your girlfriend away from you that's on the team, and you hate his guts, but guess what? On Saturday, and to get the practice rhythm right, let's say he plays wide receiver and you're the quarterback, you still got to work with him. You still got to have an alliance, because if you don't, you'll lose. And not only will you lose, but you'll cause all your teammates to suffer and to be in pain. So you have to have unique alliances, just like in business, just like in work, whatever your work, whatever your job is. You have to find answers when one method or one technique fails. An offensive lineman comes out and he hits a defensive lineman and he hits him right in the mouth and he gets knocked on his ass. What did he learn? He learned that technique didn't work. He learns that he has to get his pad level down lower. It might be that he ends up having to cut the guy on the backside of his own technique. A running back lowers his shoulder, rips his forearm right into a linebacker, and gets knocked backwards. What did he learn? He learned that that linebacker, he can't get leverage on, so he's going to have to spin or make him miss on the next time that he does it. When one thing fails, one technique fails, we have to learn to use another technique. We also learn that a man is what he does, not what he says he does. We especially learn that from our coaches, from our athletic administrators, from the presidents of the university, from the captains of our team. Because sometimes all they are is elected people. It means that they bullshit somebody and got into office. And we learn eventually that the man is full of shit. And we learn that he was not what he said he was. When someone shows you who they are, remember it, because that is who they are. A man is what he repeatedly does, not what he says he does. So those are just a few things that when you watch football tomorrow, when you watch this great game today or tomorrow, when you watch it, think about all of these things that all of these people, all of these young men that are playing the game are going to learn. And what a valuable life that they can have because of this great game. It's hard, it's tough, it's physical. You may physically get hurt for the rest of your life. It is risky. It's not for everybody. Everybody shouldn't play it. And I admire and respect people who choose not to play it. Whenever they make that decision, whenever they make that choice. But there are some incredible, valuable life learning lessons that will stay with them forever and will help them to live a better life. Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.